standing, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to read the first 10 verses together. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. John chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. John 10, verses 1 through 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which were spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but forth to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And let's pray, Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, teach us a truth that we can take with us, not just tonight, but we can use it in our lives for many years to come. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I need your attention. I want your attention. My voice is not as strong as I'd like it to be because of this nasty cold I've got, but I'd like to help you tonight. I want to start by saying this. I have absolutely no desire to control anybody's life. Let me say that again. I have absolutely no desire to control anybody's life. I am a sinner just like you are. I would make a pretty bad God, just so you know. That's obvious. But I'd like to teach you how to let God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the things that are right to control your life. I don't ask for control in somebody's life. As your pastor, I'd like veto power. Say, preacher, is this a good idea? And if I say, I don't think that's a good idea, and this is why, because this is what the Bible says, I'd like you to listen, but I'm not going to beat you over the head and excommunicate you from the church. Number one, I couldn't. Number two, it's not the right thing to do. And number three, it's not how I work. I can just tell you what the Bible says and what's best. I can tell you what I've seen that works and what I've seen that doesn't work. It's up to you to decide what you do. Now, let me start with a personal illustration, then we'll get to where I'm going. My children, all three of them, are grown. My youngest daughter, in about a month, is going to be 19. She's a sophomore in college. My son, Jeff, is 21 plus, almost 22, I guess, this spring. Coming spring, he'll be 22. My other son's married and living in Florida. All my children live away from me right now. Now, I have no desire to even control their lives. You know, I have no desire to control Josh and Ruth Ann's life or Jeff's life, even Mindy's life. You say, why? I reared them to let God control them, not me be the controller of their life as long as they live. If I die, who will control them? It was my job to take their dependence on me, teach them to depend on God. And by the time they left the influence of my wife and I, it was up to them then to follow God and God's word for their life. That was my job as a parent. Now, I love them. I can suggest things from time to time. Most of the time, if they don't ask, I'll say, are you sure? If they say, sure, why not? Then they've asked me. If they say, yeah, I'm sure, okay. It's up to you. Recently, I was talking with my son, Jeff, and the Lord had given me an idea, and I said, Jeff, I got an idea. I said, you may or may not want this,
I just thought I'd share an idea with you. I shared the idea with him, gave him a little information about it, and I said, now, just so you know, it's up to you. You don't do it, you're still my son, love you, I think you're good. I said, it's just something that crossed my way, I thought you might be interested. He said, man, this is neat. He said, it's going to take me a little while, but I think I can make that work. I said, I think so. I said, but this is up to you, not me. I just thought I'd throw an idea at you. By the way, if he never does it, he's still my son. I don't think he's some rebellious creep because he doesn't do it. Just because I thought it was a good idea doesn't mean it is. Everybody see what I'm saying here? I can only suggest, and they answer to God for their lives. You say, why? Because they're all three adults. I can love them, even if I disagree with them. I'm going to use a statement here. I'm not the God of my family. He's the God of our family. And by the way, when they leave your influence, though you're related to them, they're not part of your sheepfold anymore. They start in their own flock.
Right.
Now, I also have to realize they're not me. And I can't make decisions for them based on how I would do it for my life. I'm not trying to vicariously live my life through my children. Did you ever see dads out at the baseball field or the soccer field, and they're trying to live their sports life through their son? I think it's hilarious. And you can say what you want. We can force our children into doing things that they really don't want to do, but they'll do it just to please us because we think they ought to do it. Now, I was the shepherd of my home as long as my children lived at home. Now they have their own pastures. They're starting their own flocks. Amen. They might bring the lambs back for grandma and grandpa to see, but they got to rear them puppies. They got to change the diapers, not me. They got to feed them, not me. It's up to them how they lead and live their life. Will they always make the right decision? No, they won't. Say why? Because I didn't either. Neither did you. They're going to make mistakes. The wiser we are, we're going to listen to somebody that's been down the road a little bit. But by the way, how many times have you advised somebody to do something and they did it and it didn't work out? And you say, oops, well, I thought it would work. Just because you said it doesn't mean it's going to work. Now, I did do something while my children were home under our leadership that I want to teach you tonight. It's very scriptural. I taught them the difference between a shepherd and an hireling. Bible says here in John chapter 10, I want you to, we didn't read the verse because of time, but look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, there is a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. I can't force my children to follow my leadership now that they're gone. I can recommend that they follow good shepherds and not follow hirelings. The same is true with me as your pastor. I cannot force you to follow me. By the way, I won't force you to follow me. I don't work well that way. one of my children recently mentioned someone, and they had heard them preach, and they said, Dad, do you know him? Mm-hmm. And they said, you know them? I said, uh-huh. I said, when we were in another state, I won't tell you what state, I said, we were getting to the point where we needed to leave the church and work somewhere else. I said, Brother Hiles put that pastor and I together, and he came and interviewed my wife and I at our home to possibly work for him. I said, we have been friends for a long time, but I could never work for the man. We're two totally different styles of people.
I said, he's not a bad person, but he and I just couldn't work together. I said, we've been friendly. I've seen him around the country. I said, if you see him, you tell him I said hello. He's got several young people at the college there. I helped one of his church kids last year when went to go get Mindy. One of the young ladies sprained her ankle real bad, and they couldn't find an ace bandage. So I went and got an ace bandage and wrapped her foot up. And just something simple like that. But it meant something. Well, wait a minute. I think he's a good guy. Just because I think he's a good guy doesn't mean I'd work for him. He's a little different than I. And not in a bad way, necessarily. We just couldn't work together. There's a different relationship when you have to work shoulder to shoulder with somebody. And he had been through a bad experience. We had been going through a bad experience. We probably both didn't trust anybody at that time real well. And it doesn't mean that he's that way now. I just couldn't work for the person. You see, I cannot force you to do things that I say. Now watch this. Let me read what I wrote here. I watch people make decisions and leave this church and say that that it was my decision. I allow them to say that, even though it wasn't my decision a lot of times. I get the blame for people leaving this church preacher said it was okay to leave this church. I didn't say it was wrong for them to leave, but they didn't come ask my opinion either. I have people that have told you that I knew everything that was going on and everything's okay. And to this day, I still don't know why they left the church. I'm not mad at them, and I'm not going to force them. Everybody doing all right? And I'm not saying they left for a bad thing. I don't know why they left, but I'm not going to force them. There are people who wreck their lives and blame me for it. Well, that's the church's fault. I went to church, I tried it, and it's all that preacher's fault. I did what he said one time, and it didn't work, so I'm done. That's like taking one dose of aspirin and saying that your migraine's not gone because you took one aspirin. Aspirin's no good anymore. Now, may I say this? I've watched people listen to hirelings, and they ruin their lives. Now, listen to this very carefully. I'm not preaching about whether you should listen to me or not. I want to help you understand what the difference between a shepherd and a hireling is, and how to listen and follow, follow the shepherds, not the hirelings, and so that you'll lead in your areas of leadership like a shepherd and not a hireling. Did you know? Well, I'll get into that in a little while here. Tonight, I want to show you how this works. Number one, we need to know the voice of our shepherd. Notice John chapter 10, verse number 4. And he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Did you know that we ought to know the voice of the leader? I can be standing in this room, I can hear the door open downstairs, and I can hear my dad's voice. That quick, I know who it is. My ear is tuned to it. when Brother Hiles was alive, and I worked for Brother Hiles, I could be 100 yards away from that man, and he could speak, and nobody else heard him, and I'd say, Brother Hiles is here. He's here somewhere. I could actually somehow hear that man's voice. I was so tuned to listening for it, just in case he was there. Now, I say that to say this. We're supposed to listen to the leader's voice. Do you know that you as parents ought to make your children listen to your voice? Too many children today ignore their parents. My children tell you, as a matter of fact, when we were with them a couple weeks ago here, one of them said to me, Dad, do you remember when you grab our cheeks and say, listen to me? Yeah, I remember many a time saying that because you weren't listening to me. If I see your God-given eyeballs, I know you're listening to me. As a teacher, I demanded that my students look at me, because if they were looking at me, there was a good chance I had a better chance of keeping their attention. Every once in a while, I'll say, look at me. You say, why? Because somebody's not paying attention. And I know you're listening when I can see your eyeballs. Now, some can listen without it, but most of the time you're not listening if you're not looking. Now, the Bible is God's spoken, his inspired words. It is his voice to us. Let me ask you a question. How well do you know it? How well do you know the voice of God? I'll make a statement here. I call them healers, feelers, and squealers. You got the charismatic movement. Ooh, I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. And it's totally contrary to the word of God. They don't have it. They don't. Well, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Who told you that? Not the Bible. Now, wait a minute. We've got the... God doesn't work contrary to his book. He has never moved anybody contrary to his word, because if they move contrary to his word, guess what? He's not a God of his word, and therefore he's not God. Right. He said, I'll magnify my word above my name. God puts his word above his name. You say, why does he do that? Because if his word is no good, neither is his name. Now, watch this. We ought to be in our Bibles daily. We ought to compare what is said to the word of God. I'm not upset when people say, preacher, I listened to something. I don't understand what you said. I read this here in the Bible. Could you explain this to me? I don't take that as an attack, just so you know. I take that as somebody that listens carefully and understands, and they really want to know what the truth is. Now, if it's not something doctrinal, we might even disagree. And I'm not going to be upset with anybody over that. You've heard me while I'm preaching. This is my opinion. Disagree with me? Fine. No problem. I'll tell you when it's my opinion. Now, we need to read it daily. We need to hear it preached and taught as much as we can. Listen to this statement. But be careful who you listen to preaching it.
That's good.
Are they shepherds or hirelings? Mrs. Lopez this week, she asked me a question. She said, somebody said I ought to listen to this preacher. Gave me a name. She said, do you know the name? Somewhere in the back of my brain, I said, I think I know who that is, but let me get back to you. I was right. I recognized the name, but I didn't know enough to say yay or nay. So I did some research. I came back to her and said, I don't think it would be a good idea. He's not like us. He's very suave. He's speaking in churches that are similar to ours, but not exactly like us. Most of the churches he speaks in are several steps away and going the wrong direction. I said, because he's in churches that are going the wrong direction, I wouldn't suggest listening to him, but that's up to you. I can't make you do it. And by the way, I'm not mad if she does. I'm just not going to listen to him. Anybody understand that? I did the research on him. He said, did you listen to any of his sermons?
No.
I might like the guy, and I might change. I can't tell you, and Dr. Jorgensen makes the statement in this book, I cannot control how something affects me, but I can control what affects me. I couldn't control how his sermons may affect me, but I can control the fact that I'm not going to listen to him preach so that it does not affect me. That's how I make my decisions. Everybody understand that?
Yes,
now, we're not a hireling. A hireling is this. Somebody, and I'll get into this in a moment. A hireling is somebody that's there just to get a paycheck. It literally means somebody who's there just for their wages. It's kind of like some of the employees that you work with. They're only there to cash in on a paycheck. They don't care if they get the work done or not. They just want their paycheck. Y'all know what I'm talking. Did you ever work with somebody like that? Matter of fact, you do their work because they're just getting a paycheck. They don't care about the work. They don't care if the boss makes money. They don't care about any of that. They don't understand that if the boss doesn't make money, they don't make money. It's these people that protest that want to make $15 an hour to push the button on the fryer at McDonald's. And they're not even smart enough to turn the beeper off when they push the button. Lord have mercy. Now, you say, what is that? That's a hireling. There are people in the ministry who call themselves preachers that are nothing but a hireling. They're there to collect a paycheck, Mr. Olstein. He's there to make hundreds of millions of dollars, he and his wife, on their books and make everybody feel good. And you corner him about doctrine, and he wiggles around like a worm in a rainstorm. Did you know you're not supposed to follow their voice? You're supposed to follow the voice of God?
Yes, sir. Amen.
If they're not speaking that book, and by the way, the King James Bible for the English people, then don't listen to them. Well, the King James is inspired, but only in its originals. Did you know there is not one copy of any of the originals anywhere on the face of the earth, and never has been a total compilation of the originals? It was written over 2,700 years. But Jesus called the copies of the Old Testament Scripture.
Right. Yes, sir.
Guess what? He's able to preserve as well as inspire.
Amen.
They're not only inspired in the originals, they're still inspired. Inspire means breathed life into. It's a living book. It's still living and breathing.
Amen.
When you stop breathing for an extended period of time, you're no longer living.
Right.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's called you expire. When you expire means everything stops. You stop living. And the Bible didn't stop living just because the originals died off somewhere. It's inspired. It's living. The hirelings will tell you, because they want to be intellectually stimulating to you, well, in the original it says this. They never saw the original. This is as close to the original as you'll ever get, because it's a copy of the original.
Yes, sir.
Do you know you don't have to study Greek and Hebrew to understand the Bible? My secretary took Greek and Hebrew in college. He said, I wish I'd met Baptist before I went to college. I'd saved a whole lot of money. Because you compare the Bible to the Greek, the King James Bible follows it verbatim. Just so you know. It is as close, accurate, and sometimes more than anybody's wanting to tell you. Because they want to make a buck. Well, we need something easier to understand. Did you ever notice it's the smart people that need a Bible that's easier to understand? They say, I don't have any sense because I use the old King James, but they're the ones that have to have an easier Bible. Now, we need to know the voice of our shepherd. We need to, you know, I think your children ought to know your voice. I think your employees, people that work with you, ought to know your voice. We live in an age that's so digital that people don't talk anymore. I don't do business by email and by text. It bothers me. I want to talk to a person. I don't want to sit there on the phone, push one for this, push two for this, push three for that. Okay. You say, what do? I push zero. Give me a human being. And then you get one to talk like this, and then you get to find one that speaks English, yeah? Ay, ay, ay. Sorry. Brother June, you must have just gone through that recently. I can tell by the laugh on his face. That's funny. Folks, I want to talk to somebody that's a person. I don't want to talk to a stupid machine. I don't want to type my answers in. I want to be able to do business face to face. Now, I realize today's technology is in some of your line of work. You have to do it that way. I understand, but I don't counsel people by text or email. I'm not going to counsel you by text or email. Might ask you a question. Past that, I'll say, hey, call me when you get a chance. When it's convenient, give me a shout. Amen? You say, why? Because there's no personalness to this. You lose things in a text. Well, you capitalized it. You must be upset. Where did that get put down? You know, we can misinterpret our texts and our emails. All right, I got to hurry up here. Number two, we need to live the principles of his word, not just know facts about his Bible. Look at verse number four again. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, watch this, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It wasn't just that they knew the shepherd's voice. They followed him. When I was a kid, my dad would say something.
He'd say, Craig, take the trash out. Now, it didn't mean when I felt like doing it. He might say, one time, did you get the trash out yet? And that was about 10 seconds after he said it. I can say, Dad, I heard you. It didn't matter whether I heard him. Did I follow him? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. A shepherd walks in front of his sheep. I'm going to give you an illustration here in a second.
Hang on. You'll understand it. We can hear and know his voice, but it does no good if we don't follow him. We've got these churches that got their giant screens and they have their college seminary classes for church and they have their fancy outlines and pass out the outlines and you fill in the blanks as you go. And boy, we have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but they don't go soul winning. They don't help anybody. They're not praying. They're not living what God said. They know a lot of facts about the book, but they're not following him.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Now hang on here. God's good leaders don't demand followership. They're just easy to follow. You know that Jesus didn't beat anybody over the head to lead them? He said, fellas, I'm going this way. Follow me. He had something they wanted. He presented it in a way they wanted to know more, and they followed him. Good leaders don't make anybody do anything. They just lead and let people follow. Now watch this. They give clear instruction. Do you know a shepherd has to give clear instruction to sheep?
Sheep aren't real smart.
Goats are smarter than sheep, and goats aren't real intelligent. Now, wait a minute. Sheep have to, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Do you know why sheep have to drink out of still water? Their nostrils are at the very end of their nose. They're not on the sides and not up. And when they drink, sheep aren't smart enough. If they're drinking and the water's running towards their nose, they'll stand there and drink and drown themselves. They'll let the water run through their nose and run down their throat and choke them to death, and they'll stand there till they die. They're not smart enough to know that they're drowning. That's how stupid, how ignorant sheep are. God calls us Christian sheep. Did you know I've watched Christians do virtually the same thing? Christian young people just about are as unintelligent as a sheep. We warn them about rock music. We warn them about the wrong crowd. We warn them about wrong things, and yet they got to go into it and try it. Hello. Say, what is that? They're standing at the moving water, drowning. Now, listen to me. A good shepherd offers clear instruction. You want to have a good marriage? Learn to instruct clearly. And fellas, just because you understand it doesn't mean your wife does.
Amen.
Go get the crescent wrench and fix the pipe that's broken under the sink. You don't need to call a plumber. She doesn't even know what a crescent wrench is. And then you want to get mad at her. Oh, wait a minute. Now, some of you have wives. She can fix it, and you got to call the plumber. But it doesn't matter. All right? And ladies, just because you tell him something doesn't mean he understands it like you do. When you take your clothes off, put them away. Okay, I do. I throw them right in the floor where they're supposed to be. Amen, fellas? Come on. Anymore. I get it close to the basket most of the time. But it's not totally dirty. I'm going to put it somewhere else and wear it later. Why should I hang the stupid thing back up if I'm going to put it on the next day? Amen?
Yes,
Brother Stoltz, that's good preaching, isn't
good
it?
Preaching.
All right. Now, my wife doesn't understand it like that. Now, to me, it makes sense. To her, it doesn't. Then I come home the next day, and I'm thinking, I put those jeans down there. I got to go out and do something. They're not there. She must have put them up. They weren't where I put them up, but she wanted them put up differently than I wanted them put up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just because you use a term doesn't mean everybody understands it exactly the way you do. All right? Now, did you know if people fail, it doesn't mean they're, and I'm going to use a word that's not a bad word, but they're not damned for life over it? Did you know that if you make a mistake in life, it doesn't mean that you have a life sentence on you?
That's right. That's good preaching.
Did you know that most people in life are going to make a mistake?
Yes.
Why is it we think if our children makes a mistake, God forbid. You know, if they got a C or a D or an F on their report card, life is over. Lord have mercy. Can I tell you something? You're going to get a bad grade every once in a while. And if you don't, you're gonna eventually find in life not everything's as easy as you thought it was.
Yes.
You're going to work for somebody that's very difficult to work for someday.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not looking over that way. Do you know what? There, I expect failure from people in church. I expect failure from people that work here and help in Sunday school and help in the deacons and trustees and help with even my secretary. Did you know she's not perfect? Now, you don't know that, but did you know that she even makes mistakes every once in a while? Did you know
really?
Even I make a mistake? I know, that's a shocker. I made one this morning. I gave the wrong date. Yeah, I'm not afraid to get up and say, I blew it. I gave the wrong date. It's this date, not this one. Did you know that life doesn't stop because somebody makes a mistake? Why is it if your own child makes a mistake, we think life is over and they need to be punished forever and ever and ever in the eternal damnation? I'd rather them fail a test or fail a class than fail in life. Got to hurry up here. Love is given from the leader down, not just expected from the follower to the leader.
Yes,
you know, the shepherd loves the sheep. It's not just the sheep loving the shepherd. If I don't love you, why should I expect you to love me? Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
if I don't love my children, why should I expect them to love me? If I get upset that my children don't express love to me, did I express love to them? I better move on. I gotta hurry. Number next. This will be the next last point. Number three. We need to be careful not to mistake hirelings for shepherds.
Be careful that you don't. there are people in leadership who are nothing but hirelings.
Yes.
And listen to this very carefully here.
Hirelings don't care about anything but themselves and what they profit. sounds like a lot of political leaders.
Yes.
Most of the political problems in America come because of two things. Too much money and no term limits.
Right.
I really believe we could have solved the problem in America about 50, 60 years ago if we would have put term limits on every political office in our country.
Yeah.
I'm talking about mayors, sheriffs, city council,
yep.
House of Delegates, dog catcher,
yeah.
You name it. Did you know the political corruption comes because somebody's in a position too long and they get too much power?
Yes.
We shouldn't have retirement programs for U.S. representatives and senators.
No,
it's not a career. It's not ever intended to be a career. And the reason we have so much corruption, Hillary Clinton,
amen,
is because they've been in power too long. And she's a hireling. She's out for money. It's what do I profit? I want the power and I want the money.
Amen.
I'm not against Hillary Clinton necessarily as a person. I'm against career politics.
Yes,
I'm not a big Donald Trump fan. He's not my favorite person in the world, but it sure beats anything else out there right now. It's the least of the evil. Okay? But listen to this. Can I tell you why Donald Trump's very popular? Because he's not an hireling.
That's right.
there's one thing you can't say about Donald Trump, there's nothing in the American political system or our economy that's blamed on him because his thumbprint's not anywhere on it. If Hillary's so good, what's she done in the last 30 years other than contribute to it? Her fingerprints are all over it. Well, she has 30 years experience. That's one reason she shouldn't be there. She hadn't built anything. Now, I'll get going here. Hang on here. Hirelings go find another job when trouble comes. They don't know how to work through the problem. When the pressure comes, they split and go somewhere else and show everybody how good they are. Hirelings leave the sheep vulnerable in order to protect themselves.
I hate to tell you something, but you're looking at a preacher that's going to rain up and cloud up and rain on people and storm like you wouldn't believe if somebody attacks you. I'll let them attack me all day long. They can shoot at me. Their bullets bounce off my back. It might sting a little bit, but so be it. But can I tell you something? Somebody says something about one of my church folks, I'm coming uncorked. Amen. You can say what you want about me, no problem. But the gossip about our church folks, forget that mess. I'll cloud up and rain on that thing. Amen. You can say what you want as me as a dad, but you say something against my kids, and we're going to go to toe on that thing. Everybody doing all right? I'm not saying my kids are perfect. They're not. They have my blood.
Believe me, they're not perfect. Shepherds walk ahead of the sheep. I love this. Shepherds lead. Hirelings are cowboys. They push and they drive. You know, you don't walk ahead of cows usually and lead them. You drive them.
I know a bunch of preachers that are cowboys. They're not shepherds. Yeah, 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 you got to get going. If you're not going soul winning 40 hours a week, you're not right with God. If you're not coming to every service, you're not right with God. And I believe you ought to come to every service. But sometimes you got to work too.
Right.
I understand that. Sometimes things do come up, but I think we ought to be in church every chance we get.
Yes, sir.
But I'm not going to come knock on your door saying, look, you missed church last week. Where's your tithe?
That's not right.
I know pastors that do that. That's called a hireling. I'm sorry. I don't believe in being a cowboy. I believe in being a shepherd.
Yes.
Shepherd walks out in front and says, follow me, follow me, follow me. I think it's dangerous that you start looking at other shepherds. Sorry.
Bible says my sheep hear my voice. When my children start looking to other parents for leadership, there's a problem somewhere. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Hang on. Shepherds walk ahead and the sheep follow. Hirelings push and drive their sheep like a cowboy. I gotta hurry. Shepherds don't expect sheep to be shepherds. He wants them to be sheep. You know, I don't expect you to be shepherds.
I don't come to our church and say, oh, you don't understand the pressures I have as your shepherd. You don't want to hear that. You want somebody to come in here and help you with your problems. You don't need my problem. You don't want my problem. I don't expect you to be shepherds. You know, I don't expect Brother Gus and Brother June as they teach in the adult class, or Brother Stoltz with the teenagers, or Brother Ron with the first through third grade, or Brother Barnes with the fourth through fifth grade, or my wife with the 3 to 5 year olds. I don't expect them to be shepherds. They're leaders. But did you know that someday somebody's going to say something in one of those classes I probably wouldn't totally agree with? Guess what? It's okay. They're not shepherds. We can all work together on this thing. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I don't expect everybody in here to be shepherds. I've said this before. I used this in counseling a pastor this week. I'm going to say it again. We're getting into this realm of discipleship programs. I believe in growth and grace. Do you know what discipleship is? That's Bible college, full-time Christian servants. Jesus didn't say to the average Christian, you have to leave your father, your mother, your brethren, and your kindred to follow me. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to be willing to do that.
When I left in 1980, none of your business, to go to Bible college, 1985, I left my father, my mother, my brethren, my kindred, went to a strange land that I knew not, went to college, left from there, went into the ministry, and I had to be willing to leave everything to follow him. That's called being a disciple. God never commanded every Christian to be a disciple. He did command every Christian to grow in grace. I'm not against people who have quote-unquote discipleship programs, but they're not using a biblical term right. I believe in growth and grace. By the way, that's what Sunday school is all about. It's about growing. It's what being in Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church is about. It's about growing. That's what soul winning is about. It's what reading your Bible and praying and getting involved and helping and bringing people to church and doing all the different things that we do around here. You say, what is that? It's all growth in grace. I don't expect you to be shepherds. I expect us to act like sheep and let me help lead you. And I got to hurry here. God has us here to build this flock. We're not going to have a national conference at our church anytime soon. I'm not against conferences, but we go to so many conferences that we don't do what we're supposed to do at home anymore. We have people that want to build a national reputation versus building their local church. I'm for building the local church.
Amen.
If God wants us to have a conference someday, this church will grow to the point where people are coming to find out what we're doing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I'm not going to have to start it. It'll start itself.
Amen.
We're going to take our kids to a youth conference here. But I'm not relying on a youth conference to energize my youth department.
Amen.
A youth conference is built, no church.
That's right.
God didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my youth conference. Said, upon this rock I'll build my church.
Amen.
We're supposed to stay here, build the flock. Everybody doing okay? And by the way, you'll find out sometimes the flocks got together. I do understand that. That's what these conferences is from time to time. But be careful whose flock you intermingle with. We're not going to intermingle with flocks that aren't like us. Boy, that's a good statement. And we got to be careful of, and I'm going to say this very gently, we have to be careful of former shepherds that we knew. They may still be alive or may not still be alive. If they've moved on, God moved them to another flock, they're not your shepherd anymore.
Right.
I love Brother Hiles. He'd been in heaven for 15 years. Guess what? He's not my shepherd anymore. He's not. We will be happiest as we build the flock here. Our job is to stay in the fold and reproduce in the fold. Say, what's reproducing in the fold? Soul winning. Knocking on doors. Obeying God. Bringing folks into the fold. Growing the fold. Can I tell you what? You'll be the happiest Christian in the world if you stay in the fold and reproduce in the fold. I promise you. Now, same is true with your home. Did you know, after my kids left home, my job's not done? I still have a home. I still have my wife to lead. Now, I don't lead my children like I used to. I still have some influence over my daughter's decisions. Till she says yes to some toe-headed idiot. All right? But until then, I still have some influence. But do you know I still can't make her do things? She has chosen to submit to a lot of things. And she'll be wiser for that. But if she doesn't, I can't get upset with her. She's an adult. She's dating Brandon right now. And he's a good guy. I think he's a fine young man. You know, we've put some pretty stringent rules on them. They still don't have each other's phone numbers and they don't text each other. Sitting at the dinner table with Dr. and Mrs. Jorgensen, I said, Doc, I said, Mindy and Brandon don't have each other's phone numbers. He said, Mindy, you mean you don't text him between every class? And you don't text him every day? She said, no, sir, I don't have his phone number. My mom and dad won't let us text each other. Mrs. Jorgensen looked at my wife. She said, oh, Pastor and Mrs. Bush, you are so wise. She looked at Mindy and said, Mindy, your mommy and daddy love you an awful lot.
Doc said, well, you see each other every day. Why do you need to text each other? I said, that's exactly it. I said, now, last summer, they got to talk for 1 hour. They had to either call my wife's phone or my phone for them to talk. 1 hour, one day a week. That's it. Over the summer. You say, man, you're mean. She was 18 years old. He was 19 years old or whatever. Can I tell you something? When I was a kid, there was no such thing as cell phones, and I couldn't afford long distance. We wrote letters every day and sent them twice a week if we could afford the postage. Try that one once. Mrs. Jorgensen sat there, tears dripping off her face. She said, Mindy, wow, do you know how good you have it? And I said, next summer it might change a little bit because it's getting a little bit more serious. But we'll decide when summer gets here what we're going to do. Can I tell you something? I still have a little influence. They've chosen to follow those rules to honor us.
But if they don't, I can't get upset with them. I know what's best for them, but they don't have to do it. I'm glad they are. I really am. Boy, that's good stuff right there. You say, wait a minute, I'm still the shepherd of my home. Yeah, it's me and my wife. I still have a home to lead. Now, I say that to say this. Jesus said, don't just know my voice, but follow me. Do it. Don't follow the hirelings. You say, why were you so hard on some of the guys around your daughter? If I could chase them off, they weren't man enough to date her. Finally found one that I couldn't chase off. After about 9 months, I looked at him one day and I said, young man, I want to tell you something. Man, he was shaking. I said, I respect you. You do? I said, I do. I said, you've earned my respect. I said, you were nervous at first. He said, you better believe I was. I said, good. You ought to have been. I said, but you've endured and you've earned my respect. I said, and I respect you for that. I said, by the way, I had to earn your respect. Not just you being afraid of me, I had to earn your respect. I don't want him afraid of me. I want to earn his respect. I said, man to man, I wanted to earn your respect. Can I tell you something? Isn't that the way it ought to be? If they broke up today, did you know? I told him this. I said, if it doesn't last, that's fine. If it lasts, that's fine too. I said, but if it breaks up tomorrow, guess what? I'll still help you. I'll still be your friend. Your friendship and my friendship's not based on her. Because we respect each other. I said, you hurt her, I'll kill you. He said, I believe that. I said, good.
I'll dump the body.
Yeah, buddy. Now, I say that to say this. Let's be shepherds, not hirelings. Let's follow shepherds, not hirelings. Let's lead like shepherds, not hirelings. And by the way, let's follow like good sheep. That's what the Bible teaches. I promise you, a much more prosperous, happier, healthier life. Do you know who the most miserable sheep in the world are? People that have had a pastor that's left and gone somewhere else and they want to live in the past. Living in the past is a miserable way to live. If you live driving in your rearview mirror only, you're going to crash.
Yes, sir.
You got to look out the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Amen. You glance in the rearview mirror to make sure you're not going to hit anything, but you got to keep going forward. And that's the way it is. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Let's decide we'll be good shepherds, good sheep, good followers. Let's not just know his voice, but let's follow his voice. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I personally needed tonight, would you raise your hand?